The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program, the final hour. When we went to the break, we put up a picture of Marcus Spears. Some of you may remember Marcus when he played at LSU and a couple of years ago when he used to appear on this program. But I'm not really certain that he's here because I've yet to see him or have any confirmation of his existence. So can we see if Marcus is around? Because he used to be one of my best friends. I used to see him all the time, and I haven't seen this guy in about a year and a half. I haven't heard from him. So is there proof of life?
It's proof of life, P-Town. I'm here, man. And stop lying to these people. You know I do my what would you call it? My check-ins to make sure you are good and Miss Linda is good. Don't tell these people I'm not in contact with you, P-Town.
I know more about you from my wife than I do about me, but she told me she talked to you recently. And in all candor, Marcus, every once in a while, unlike a lot of people in this world, remembers his old friends and check in and see if they're still able to get outside and get the mail every day. Marcus, it is great to see you. We're
absolutely
all proud of you. We miss you, and we'll see a lot of we've seen a lot of you, and we'll see a lot of you the rest of the week because the draft is here. And I know that, are you tired of talking about it yet?
I am, P-Town. I'm telling you, man. I'm so ready for this damn draft to take place. And we can talk about reactionary things as opposed to trying to anticipate what's going to happen. First and foremost, man, it feels good. I'm so comfortable, right? Like, you were a springboard to some of the things that are transpiring right now, having me on your show, giving me the opportunity. But yes, man, I'm sick of it, P-Town. You know how I get. You've been around me long enough. I'm ready for the thing to happen. Just like when we were with SEC Nation and I was ready for the games to be played as opposed to talking about them. So I can't wait to see what these teams do, man.
And before we get to that, I do, because people ask me about you every day, and let's talk a little bit, because the pandemic made communications confusing for a lot of people, but let's talk about Marcus Spears for just a second, and what you're doing, and I know you're enjoying it, I do know that, but tell everybody what's going on in your life right now.
Well, P-Town, you know, man, you know as well as anybody, you and I had a number of talks about just ideas of where I wanted the career to go. I'm on NFL Live daily with Laura Rutledge. That's like my mainstay, still doing Get Up and First Take and all of those shows. But man, just enjoying it. You know me, P-Town. It's not for me, man. If as long as I'm having a good time, I'll be here. As long as I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'll be here. And obviously it's been a rough year for everybody. It's been a rough time. So I think I know about your show, giving people a reprieve and having an opportunity to talk about things other than the pandemic and some of the catastrophic things that have taken place over the year. But looking at what I've been doing in television, thinking about coming from SEC Network, it's really always been about hopefully people have a good time when I'm on. And that's what I try to portray. So hopefully that's resonating. And we need to do this more so me and you can get back to laughing and joking and blowing up producers' rundowns.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I've told you this before, but I can't tell you how proud I am because, I mean, I watched it and it wasn't easy and, you know, forget everyone behind the scenes, but I could tell from almost the moment we met, you were trying to get out of that shell. And you had a couple of almost breakouts, and then it just boom! All of a sudden, I'm reading about you in the New York Post. I'm hearing about you on the streets of Manhattan, and you.
P-Town, listen, man.
It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, man. But obviously, like I tell people all the time, and you know, you and I we have a relationship that goes from the beginning of me getting in television, mainstream. And I tell people all the time, you were one of the people that was responsible for the opportunities. And, you know, I get it every once in a while. What's wrong with you and Paul? Why are you not on the show? Nothing. Me and Paul are as good as we were when we were working together on the show. But you understood what my goals were. You knew where I was trying to go. And you helped facilitate that by giving me the platform to be on your show, long form, and us have conversations for a long time about various things. As many great conversations and fun and laughter we had, we dove into serious topics. So I never forget, man. I'm one of those guys, and you know that. I don't forget where I come from. That's why I reach out to you, P-Town. That's why I reach out to the people that were instrumental in me doing what I'm doing today, and which I consider a young career. Man, I still have so much to learn, so much to figure out, so many things that I want to accomplish and do. But at the end of the day, the foundation was built right. And you personally, beyond the TV, but also your show gave me an opportunity to do that. And you know I'm grateful for that, man. Sometimes I get a little leery about doing this publicly because you know how I feel, but sometimes people need to know that you and I still have a strong connection and some of the things that we've been through and talked about and didn't see eye to eye on. And also came together on has meant a lot to me in my career so far, man.
Well, I missed you last summer because it was a tough time. It's still a tough time, Marcus. You know that. You talk about this every day in your real world. And I think that's what's missing. I mean, everybody mouths the everybody says, "Oh, everybody's got to come together. We got to work harder." But I learned through you, I learned a lot about what real conversations meant, and I'm just so proud of that time.
Yeah.
And because it meant a lot, and I think the audience got a lot out of it.
But yeah, P-Town, to that point, man, you know. One thing you and I used to talk about all the time, even you being in this business and doing it at such a high level for as long as you've been doing it, you know the private conversations have always meant more to me. You know the real conversations have always meant more to me. I'm not, you know, I'm different, man, and you know that and you recognize that. I'm not the corporate America. I'm not the normal, buttoned up, speak with the right tone and have the right pronunciation of words. You knew that about me. You embraced it. You allow me to be yourself on your show. But not only that, like talking about real things beyond being on television was our connection. And that's why it was so normal and fluid when we talked about it on your show and when we get together any other time. So those things are impactful, man. And you know how this business goes. Very few people that you feel like the words are really falling on their ears and they responding to what you're saying. And you and I have always had that.
So Marcus, I'll get to the draft eventually, or maybe never, for that matter. But
never.
I am curious, and maybe because I see, and I don't want anybody to be upset with me here for asking this question, but I just see I love what you're doing, but I see you doing more, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe you haven't even thought about it, but it just seems like you have this ability to talk to people in real terms as opposed to screaming at them, talking up to them, talking down to them. And I'm just curious, what happens next for you?
P-Town, I don't know, man. You know, I'm going to just keep being me. I'm going to keep enjoying it. I'm going to keep being respectful to everybody and just do my part in these roles that I've had the opportunity to be in. And we'll see where they go, man. You know, I've been asked that question now quite a bit about what do I want to do? What do I want? Where does the career go? I love conversation, man. I love people. I think people are the number one commodity that we should always invest in. You know, talking about all of the things that you and I have talked about, the only way problems get fixed is people. The only way things get done is people. The only way you enjoy and really savor times that you have opportunities to do things that most people don't have a chance to do. You remember the people that were there, not the actual event like this draft that we're here in Cleveland for. I'll remember being with Laura, Dan, and Mina, and everybody else, and being these are the things that you remember. The other stuff is for television, for other people to see and say, wow. But the bottom line for me, man, I'm just You know it. You know my old cliche, P-Town. As long as I'm enjoying it, I'm going to keep doing it and see where it goes.
And the thing that I will say about Marcus, and this is, I can't say this for everyone, but a lot of my close friends that have been a part of this show in the past, I can say it for, but I know where you're from because I've been around your mom, I've been around your wife, I've been around your kids, and I still feel like I'm still upset with your dad for not adopting me because I remember that night. I think we were at Kaylee Hartung's house.
At Kaylee's house.
Les Miles living three doors down, by the way, not to ruin a good story. Your dad just came off, got off work, and I had one of the greatest times I've ever had talking to him. It meant so much to me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Brother, my dad still watches the Fine Bum Show. I watch the Fine Bum Show. My mom watches the Fine Bum Show. My wife, Aisha, asks me all the time, have you talked to Paul? Did you check in on him and Ms. Linda? Bro, you family, man. You know that. And a lot of people, you know, need to publicly, you know me, P-Town. I'm a big, if you know the person personally and you have their phone number, call them. Call in and check on them. I don't need to go on Twitter or Instagram to say, hey, me and Paul talked today and we had a good conversation. You know how deeply rooted you are in my family, man. You know they support you. And it's been that way. It's been that way when we learned and found out about Paul Finebaum beyond the radio thing, right? Like me and you beyond the radio thing. Because we've had our disagreements. We haven't seen eye to eye on everything. But the friendship and the foundation that we built has always lasted the test of time, always given us an opportunity to see different opinions without feeling like I slighted you or you slighted me. And my family feels the same way, man. They P-Town fans, man. But more than that, you're a part of the family, P-Town.
Well, that means a lot. And Marcus, they are telling me to ask you about the draft, and I'm not going to. I don't care. We're gonna let you cover the draft all day tomorrow and all night and all day the next day, and we'll watch that. But I want to say I hope you'll come back.
Time.
I know you got a busy schedule. We love having you, and I miss you. I really do.
I miss you too, my brother. Love you, and just hit me up. You know I'm ready to rock whenever you want to roll. But next time, tell them we need 30 to 45 minutes. They know how we do. Don't cut us short.
Yeah, no, this 13 minutes, that's not for us. Hey, Marcus, I know you got a busy schedule. We will do this again, and thanks so much, and the best to all your family. Hope to see you soon.
All right, my brother, same to you. All right, peace.
Marcus Spears joining us from Cleveland, the site of tomorrow night's NFL draft. Watch it. We will take a break. More of your phone calls the rest of the way as we continue here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. Great to have you here. And so many great guests today, from Marcus to Kirby Smart, Andy, and many others. Let's check out Mitch, who is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, you've read the prompt. You know what I want to talk about. And I don't mean to ruin your day, but I feel like it's been glossed over. the Darius Guy situation at LSU. If LSU is disassociating themselves that strongly away from him, I'm sorry. It's a subject that is very close to me because I was victimized as a child. I told my second grade teacher what was going on in my foster home. Everything I ever tell you is verifiable, either in court documents, has been a book wrote about part of my life. Nothing I ever tell you is a lie. But anyway, I was victimized as a child. I told my second grade teacher, instead of her doing the right thing, calling the police, she calls the foster parent. I get home and get beat so badly they had to take me to the hospital. And I had to lie and say another one of the foster kids did. So I have a different perspective on victims when they reach out to people. I'm not saying that Ed Orgeron did or didn't have a conversation with a 70-something-year-old woman. But we're giving him more of the benefit of the doubt than we are her.
Mitch, you're still there? Let me say this for before you even go on. What you're talking about is very important. And I, as you know, have had several guests to talk about this subject. This is a subject that I think needs to be heard. And I think many people are questioning the university's response to it. And that's evidenced by seven women filing a federal lawsuit, Title IX suit the other day, on top of another woman filing a federal Title IX lawsuit. This is a serious situation.
This is how strongly I feel about the subject, though. I think Deshaun Watson should be suspended until the situation in Houston is settled. You can always get your money back if you sound innocent.
Well, Mitch, you're talking about two different things here. And
I'm just saying, you know, I'm a Clemson fan.
Yeah, so. No, I know. I don't know what the truth is in the Deshaun Watson story, and I think the coverage of it has been very peculiar. But, you know, that is a different situation, though, when to me, right now, that is a civil situation. The other one is... I'll let it all play out. But the fact that this went on for as long as it did, I think the most important thing to remember here is that the head football coach and athletic director at Kansas were fired as a result of what happened at LSU, and the president at Oregon State was fired. And as of now, the only thing we've heard from LSU is they disassociated themselves from a player. And I think another official is not going to be allowed to go to football games this fall.
But, you know, and I'm not campaigning for anything, but a 77-year-old woman says she spoke to Ed Orgeron.
That is correct. That's what you said.
He needs to be held accountable too.
Well, I agree. There's nothing that you've said I don't agree with, and I think it's a very, you know, everything that was alleged, we are now seeing in real time, and we're not seeing anyone cover something up, but we're, you know, are we seeing an aggressive accounting right now? So far, that's open to interpretation.
I understand. I just wanted to, you know, bring it out because I just don't think enough has been said about it. But anyway, I know how you feel about people, and you love people, and you would take care of people in a heartbeat.
Well, so. What you've talked about, Mitch, there are a lot of people that cover up a lot of things in this world. But to look the other way for something like this, I know you've already said what you did. It's outrageous, and it shouldn't happen on any campus, in any arena, any place. But it's also, as you personally have experienced, probably the most overlooked and covered up aspect of this type of allegation, because You know, unfortunately, as you know better than anyone, the person making the allegation ends up being on trial.
And it's also usually these type of predators do it in private. They don't have witnesses to their.
No, we're in total agreement. Well, Mitch, let's continue this conversation.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much, Mitch. Appreciate it. And Greg is up next in South Carolina as well. Hello, Greg. Thanks.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, first time caller. Appreciate you taking my call.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
I just listened to Mitch. Unfortunately, I never was put up in a foster home, me and my kids. This is sort of getting away from the reason I called. But I can understand his point. Everything good Lord provided me, an aunt and uncle that took us in, me and my three siblings and everything, well, three brothers and sisters and stuff, and we were well taken care of, but I can sort of see how that's covered up for Mitch's part.
Exactly.
Heart goes out to him. You know, I definitely keep him in my prayers. But one thing, if the playoffs are extended and everything, why can't we, get the bowls? You know, they're going to expand it to 12 teams or whatever, just take the top six bowls and say, okay, here we go, or however they can format it to get the bowls still in it so the players don't lay out, you know, and it doesn't mean anything anymore, and keep the traditional bowls still alive. And my next question, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask this because I think every college fan will probably appreciate me asking, why in the world can't they have the national championship game on a Friday night, like they did the semifinal game this past year? Families, I know we got COVID going on, but besides COVID, that families and friends can get together and have a good time.
Greg, I think you're right. Monday night is a terrible night for this game. I think that has now been proven. It is,
right.
Having been to all these games, and I mean, this game can. The game this year did not end till almost midnight on the East Coast.
Correct.
That is too late on a normal work night, school night. And why is the Super Bowl the most watched sporting event every single year? Because it starts at 6:30 at night on a Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It's over by 9:30. I think college football has it all wrong, but. They really don't care what I think. And again, I'm I work for the company that does the game, so I doubt.
Yes, sir.
But
well, I realize. I mean, the TV ratings would be out the sky. I mean, it'd be way up than what it is.
It would be
on
much better.
Night.
Yeah, and
right. And I'm a big Clemson Tiger fan. Like I've told people at work, my boss, I said, look, if Clemson's in the national championship game, I will be late coming in.
Sure.
I said, because I'm going to enjoy it. And I think every college fan, if they're a Buckeye fan or whoever, Crimson Tide, whatever, would appreciate if that game would get played sometime. And I wished, somehow the college fans could all get together and say, let's change this thing. I know it's all about the TV, about ESPN and whatever. But if we could have it on a Friday night, you wouldn't mess up the NFL's wild card games on Saturday.
That is a great point you just made, and that's really been, as you probably have heard, one of my biggest complaints. Hey, thank you for the call. Yeah, it's just you have the game on Monday night, you have wild card games Saturday and Sunday, and this year it may be a little bit different because the NFL season is starting later, but it's hard for college football to get center stage. We are heading to a break. 30 minutes to go. It's been a fun show. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Sandy is up next as we complete the show, the final 25 minutes. Sandy is in North Carolina. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was 6 or 7 years ago, I was sitting in the kitchen watching television. I watched, you came on at 7 or 3. I sat here watching the test pattern for 15 minutes before your show started, and the main reason for that is that I'm University of Alabama. My wife graduated from LSU, so obviously there was an inherent interest. Did not know you, Paul. When you brought Laura on, I said, oh, Lord, just another pretty face. Well, it didn't take long for me to figure out that she knew what she was talking about. And then Marcus. And obviously, I just love Marcus to begin with, because being a Southern boy, a country boy, I recognized what he said. And then you came with Booger McFarland. And to me, you are, without a shadow of a doubt, the best show on television. Period. That's all I had to say. Good luck in the future. And keep on keeping on. Roll Tide.
Sandy, thank you very much. Really appreciate those words. Let's continue. George is up next. Hey, George, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I just want to talk about this college football playoff. You know, they talk about possibly going to 16 teams and possibly 12 teams. And they need to kind of slow their roll a little bit, because if you think about it, when was the last time we had four outstanding teams in the college football playoff? That has not happened in a long time. So I think they need to just slow down a minute.
Yeah, since it began in 2014, George, it's much easier to remember the good games than the bad games, because there have been so many bad games. And the expansion is really not being done, though, to improve the quality. The expansion is probably going to be done out of desperation, because what's happening right now really isn't working. And I'm trying to look at this broadly. I know if you're a college football fan, you just don't, you want to see games, and your view is skewed somewhat. But by adding more schools, they're hoping to garner and gather more attention around the country, bringing the little guy in, so to speak, making it less predictable. I'm not sure if that will change anything, but right now, under the current setup, continuing to do the same thing is like, you know, banging your head against the wall and hoping to feel better when you stop.
Well, if they do something like go to 18, and then let those 18s play and get the best four out of that group, I think that would be really outstanding for college football.
Well, I don't believe they're going beyond eight, because it's not practical. And if you run the risk, and anytime you go to another iteration of this, to looking like the NFL. Now, what drives the NFL the final week or two of the season? It's seeding and location. And I think that's ultimately what's going on. I asked somebody the question, well, what will the SEC championship game mean? It won't mean anything like it currently does, but it will be a game that will probably give the winner a home field advantage, which drives the NFL considerably. And we'll all make it more interesting than it probably deserves to be. But you know, it is going to happen. The fight is over. It's just a matter of whether it happens in 3 years or in 5 years.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time. And if they have a championship game at the end of the season, it should be played on the Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's time to get rid of that Monday night. I completely agree with you. I think, but thanks for the call. But like the previous caller said, the reason it's on Monday night is that the NFL has commandeered that weekend. And the only way college football can get around that would be to play earlier, and you can't do that because the NFL this past season with three games had the entire afternoon and evening locked down. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Swami. Haven't heard from Swami in a while. Good afternoon, Swami.
Hey, big guy. What's going on? Hey, Paul.
Doing good.
I wanted to weigh in on this playoff expansion, if I could, please.
Please.
And believe me, Paul, my view's not skewed like you, you know, said about, in particular, you know, I want to kind of point out this Mike from Kentucky, you know, this Bama homer, that's saying the so-called little guy has no chance in this thing at all. But really, Paul, tell me last year, who did have a damn chance?
One team.
Exactly. And so, you know, now, Central Florida, they're close to being the Boise State of old when Chris Peterson was there and Kellen Moore was there, and they lost two games in 4 years and beat Oregon, you know, when Oregon was a top five team, beat the SEC East champion Georgia by 14 points. And of course, Georgia didn't return the trip to the Blue Field. But, so, you know, the one thing people don't take in consideration about teams like Central Florida or Boise when they were good is that they don't have many people going to the NFL. They recruit 3- and 4-star players who stay there 5 and 6 years. So there are special occasions where I ain't saying they got 60-something teams there that, you know, they get the all of them can compete. But there are a few years where they can.
Good point. Swami, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's good to hear from you. How about Bill up next? Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Paul, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
A few things, man. As far as, like, the football expansion, you know, it's all going to end up the same way. The best, you know, 4 teams, 8 teams are going to end up at the end, and they're going to battle it out. And everybody else who couldn't make it there is going to complain about that they only lost one game, maybe two games, and they couldn't get there. You know, and you know, I listen to Kirby, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? Good program. Everything's going great. You lose that one game, they better beat Clemson, by the way, if they even have a chance. And the second thing that I want to talk about was the whole LSU thing. I've been talking to you now for about 6 months, on and off, through the radio about what is facing LSU. And I don't think that the fan base or LSU even itself understands what's about to come down on them. What do you think?
I agree with you. The only thing I don't know is how deep and far reaching the tentacles of this are going to hit.
Well, timeline coordinator is your lawyer for your university that handles these cases. And so if they weren't even being turned in, then you start going up the food chain, right?
Right. I'm curious because you're not far from that. I was interested in the decision the other day. It came on a Friday night to unload the law firm that had represented the school for 75 years. What did that tell you?
That they're smart. That they're
intelligent. That's a good answer.
That's kind of how I feel about it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you start looking for places to disengage, but there are a lot of secrets I'm sure that law firm took to the unemployment line with them.
Absolutely. But I mean, dig this, man. Dig. I am a SEC fan. I do not want anybody in the SEC to kind of like, you know, go sideways. But if they are, let's get it out front. Let's address it. Let's get it gone, mitigate it, and then move on to the next.
And Bill, you could probably add more than I can here, but from my limited understanding, I mean, these are serious lawsuits, and the discovery in these cases is going to be endless.
What was it? 7 women came out?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say probably double that number, you know, of the women that just do not feel comfortable.
There are good times and bad to file federal lawsuits, and I always try to keep politics out of this, but this is a good time if you're following that type of case.
Well, you're a liberal. Yes, correct. If you're a liberal right now, this is your, yeah, you're chewing on this fat. No doubt about it. But I guess my point being this, find out what happened, address it, get it past Coach O. He had nothing to do with it, and I'm not even an LSU fan.
No, I agree. I mean, there's no evidence right now that he was any more than a bystander, I think you're right.
Right. He saw what was happening, maybe, but it was after the fact. And so to throw that down his throat or anybody that is present in the politics of LSU right now.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for calling. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.